by this week's Torah portion as well as the life of Jonathan. It's interesting that Jonathan Williams' name, first, Jonathan means gift of God, and William, I think it's a particularly nice middle name. My namesake has the middle name William, so I think it's a nice middle name to have. William means protector, vigilant, resolute protector. So there is a strength of character as well as a recognition of the Most High embedded in Jonathan's name. It's a name of strength and courage. So I was thinking from this week's Torah portion about an incident when in the life of Israel, courage was discouraged. And I want to contrast it with Jonathan Williams' namesake. During the Blitz in World War II, England's cities sustained regular bombardment from the German Air Force. The English leaders evacuated a number of different groups, including vital professionals that included teachers and physicians. They also evacuated children and the weak and the ill to the countryside. The Queen was asked one day when she would send her own children to safety. And with courage, the Queen retorted, "My daughters will leave London when I leave London. And I will leave London when the king leaves London, and the king is not leaving London." Regarding, by the way, that act of identification and courage greatly endured the queen to the British Empire during World War II. Concerning courage, Winston Churchill said, "Courage is the first of human qualities because it is the quality that guarantees all the others." Maya Angelou, the noted civil rights activist that died just a couple weeks ago, in line with Winston Churchill, also noted, quote, "Without courage, you cannot practice any other virtue consistently. You may practice some virtues erratically, sporadically, but you can practice nothing consistently without courage." End of quote. In other words, a life cannot be lived without courage. But I suggest that not all courage is courage. Rather, in this week's Torah portion, we see a story of courage, of heroic courage. It's also a tale of tragedy. You see, the people of Israel, crippled by their fear, refused to enter the land promised by God to their ancestors. So God responds by saying, the adults, all those over the age of 20, will not receive the promise, but in 40 years, their children will receive it. To this statement and the announcement of their discipline, the people impulsively realize that they are wrong, and they courageously set out to enter the land. Numbers chapter 14, verse 44 says, "In their presumption, they went up to the hill country, though neither the ark of the Lord's covenant nor Moses moved from the camp." You know the story, perhaps. They were routed by the Amalekites and chased away. It's interesting that that verb there in Numbers chapter 14 is from the same Hebrew root as a word in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Perhaps you know the verse. That is the verse that states partially that the just will live by their trust. That verse also uses the same root for this word presumption, and there it is translated most usually puffed up. Puffed up. There is an Arabic word that shares a related root that means to be heedless. Puffed up and heedless. In their puffed up mind, they went up to the hill country, though neither the ark nor Moses left the camp. They were going to be courageous all by themselves. While fear destroyed their courage initially, their blustery action destroyed them. I read into this that the antidote for doing something wrong is not to try harder the second time. I once had a messianic rabbi who taught this at length. When we do something wrong, it is not up to ourselves to correct it. This is where we have someone step in and give correction. Attempts to solve our own wrong actions ourselves will sabotage us with even greater damage, as this week's Torah portion shows. For Israel, their vibrato, their machismo, their courage and arrogance was not true courage. I want to contrast that with another story of courage. It is about a prince in 1 Samuel chapter 14 who demonstrated great courage against the Philistines. He stated that nothing can hinder the Lord from rescuing, whether we are few or many. So I ask you, who was this great prince warrior that fought the Philistines? Do you know? David? Samson? Who? Very good. Yes, there is a story in 1 Samuel of David fighting the Philistines, specifically one great big one. But while we might first think of David, as we did, I want to point out that before there was a David, there was a Jonathan. Jonathan also, and first, before David, fought the Philistines. The story is in 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan and his bodyguard climb a massive cliff. In fact, the cliff is so prominent that the text even gives it a name. They climb this cliff on their hands and knees, and they successfully rout 20 Philistine warriors. Jonathan proclaimed in that story, "The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Where did his courage come from? His courage stemmed from the Most High, from the confidence in the Mighty One. Jonathan's courage also made him an unselfish friend. This is rather beautiful. Jonathan once said to David, "Whatever you want, I will do it for you." This attitude that Jonathan exhibited is especially amazing because Jonathan knew that God had chosen someone else besides himself to be the future king of Israel. He recognized that he would never be as famous as his friend David, but yet he acted unselfishly toward David. In deference, he said one time, "You will be king. I'll be number two. I'll always look up to you," Jonathan was implying. But it's very beautiful that although Jonathan took this role in deference to David, that Jonathan, in another instance, was a mentor to David. There's a story when we are told that David is fearful. And how is he encouraged? The story tells us that Jonathan went to David when he was fearful and helped him find strength in God. David needed help finding strength in God. It was the courage of Jonathan that gave David that strength. We think of David as strong and courageous. The courage of an unselfish friend is even stronger. So let me contrast the two. Israel acted impulsively and arrogantly in Numbers chapter 14, the story I related. Israel, in their misdirected courage, had a vain attempt to change God's choice regarding their future. So contrast that with Jonathan, who was continuously loyal to both God and to David. His courage grew even when he recognized God's choice regarding Israel's future. Israel didn't like God's choice, and they acted impulsively. Jonathan embraced God's choice with courage and remained loyal. On a personal note, I must let you know that a number of weeks ago when I asked Simon and Debbie why they had named their son Jonathan William, Simon immediately got up and opened the Bible and started telling me the story of Jonathan. You see, I love the way Simon was inspired by the story of Jonathan, son of Saul. Such a contrast from his father. A true Jonathan is courageous, but not arrogant. A genuine Jonathan yields to God's choice. An authentic Jonathan wields power, but with self-control. So you might ask me, can courage and self-control exist at the same time? Are those a contradiction in terms to be courageous? This week I watched a rather painful movie with my wife about the Irish War of Independence in 1920. And it was a story of a group of impetuous young men that were reacting against some painful circumstances. But yet, when the painful circumstances were removed, their courage turned against one another. They didn't have Jonathan's courage. They didn't have courage with self-control. So can courage exist with self-control? The book of Joshua says yes. I have three passages to highlight that relationship. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 says, "Be strong and courageous." Three times, in fact, that text says, "Be strong and courageous." But it's interesting that in that context, one of those statements of "be courageous" is linked with obedience. Be strong and very courageous to obey. To obey God's word. "Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth," God told Joshua. You see, courage is not to be mere bluster. Instead, it must include obedience to God. So I will change and tweak Maya Angelou's statement, and for that matter, even with permission, Winston Churchill, who said, "Courage is the first of all the virtues." I will say that is true. Maya Angelou said, "Without courage, you can do nothing else." If, according to Joshua chapter 1, without courage to obey, you can do nothing else. It's not courage alone that leads to the other virtues. It is courage to obey that makes us courageous in all the other areas of our life. Second example, Rabbi Paul states in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, stating, "Stand firm in the faith, be people of courage, be strong, do everything in love." Four things: stand firm in your trust, be strong, be courageous, do everything in love. I see these four statements as mutually defining each other. Therefore, when Rabbi Paul borrowed Joshua's words of "be strong and have courage," he bracketed them by stating, "Have trust in God and do everything in love." I love the way that Rabbi Paul tweaked God's words to Joshua. Finally, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "It is better to be slow to anger than to be mighty. It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city." It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city. So I asked you, who is stronger? The one with the big muscles, or the one with the big clamp on their mouth? According to Proverbs, the one who practices self-control is stronger than the superhero, the Green Beret, or may I say MI6. If God is described as slow to anger in Exodus 34, in the 13 attributes of God, shouldn't we be slow to anger also? As this psalm instructs, be slow to anger. It's better to be slow to anger than to be mighty. Interestingly, the Jewish sages ask this question: who is strong? Who is strong? And their answer quotes this proverb stating, "The one who is strong is the one who controls himself." It's in Pirkei Avot, chapter 4, number 1. So let me assert that courage is discouraged when it is puffed up and selfish, when it seeks its own desire, as the story in Numbers chapter 14. On the other hand, courage is encouraged when it walks obediently, when it is infused with love, and when it is tempered with self-control. Obedience, love, self-control. True courage seeks what God seeks without an energized experience with the Almighty. We will never have might. Remember that. Strength, courage comes from an energized experience with the Almighty. May Jonathan William grow to mirror his namesake, Jonathan, a man of courage.